Jim Hagan and Evan Kleber at SWBC Mortgage remind you that all loans are subject to credit approval. NMLS numbers 1244.53 and 1059.597. Equal housing lender. Licensed by the State of California Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, CRMLA.
So happy it's Thursday. Welcome. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. Full house today. Five of us in the studio, including a girl. I know.
Shocker.
It is rare. It is rare. We have Joanna DeVos, repeat offender. Here, what, second
yes,
time?
Yes, second time here.
She is an estate planning attorney, estateplanningsd.com. Just recently branched out on her own, right?
Yes,
start
I did.
Your own thing. EstatePlanningSD.com. Also with us from SWBC Mortgage, website SWBC.com, James Hagan and Evan Kleber. James Hagan and Evan Kleber. The largest privately held financial services company, SWBC.com, as well as 54 years total in the mortgage business between you guys. All three of you, welcome.
Thank you.
So ahead of us today, you might have guessed, we're going to talk about the lending environment. It is, well, changing, which you will certainly hear. In addition to that, what is an estate plan and why does everyone need one? So right out of the gates, let's talk about rate, just so people have a whole hour to digest this. What's today's rate?
Today's rate for like a $417,000 mortgage, which is the conforming rate, is 4.38%, which works out to be about a 4.399 annual percentage rate. The jumbos, which would be 546,250, just slightly higher at 4.5%, 4.5611 APR.
So low to mid fours.
Yes.
Low to mid
fours. And it's been fluctuating there for the last week or so, up an eighth, down an eighth.
So if I have an interest rate of what? Should I start considering a refinance? And frankly, I've been living under a rock if I haven't refinanced already. But let's say that for some reason I haven't. I've been in Dubai for the last, you know, year. What interest rate should I start looking at a refinance if I have right now?
Well, there's many reasons to do it. So if you're just doing it for price, it would probably be in the 5.25% rate to make it worth your while. But there's many of these older loans which are adjustables that are coming due right now, and that would be a great rate to get rid of because – as it goes into the adjustable rate market, it may be going up.
So if you got an interest rate, 5 or higher, want to bring that down, the number 858-997-5825, 858-997-5825.
You know, it seems to me like there's been a lot of people out there that haven't been able to refinance simply for the pure fact that the house values have been under. They're low. But now with the prices coming up, a lot of people are surprised that they can actually get out there with the loan to value that's required for some of these underwriting guidelines. And what I mean by that is that if your values have come up enough that you can refinance, because if you're upside down, the banks aren't going to touch you. Isn't that right?
That's correct. There are still programs out there, though, like the HARP program, which many lenders still do, which will allow an unlimited loan to value as far as getting refinanced. But those programs are usually utilized by the lender who has the first trust deed. Like, I'm not going to step in and take on an upside down loan from somebody else. But the, for instance, you have a if you have a Wells Fargo loan that's upside down, Wells Fargo will probably be delighted to put you on the HARP program and take care of it.
That sounds nice.
Good to know. Good to know.
You know, it seems like the government has, you know, been in there meddling with a lot of these knobs, meaning, you know, Bernanke's got this quantitative easing with the purchasing of all this mortgage-backed securities, mm-hmm. and then the threat of not actually continuing to do that. You know, it's rocked the boat, so to speak. Interest rates are up about 1% of what they used to be at the all-time low. Still extremely good, in my opinion. And I'm frankly blown away that the jumbo rate is only, what, 1/8 higher than the conforming rate?
Well, I think the reason for that is it tracks on two different cycles. You've got this, a lot of that is going to be going more and more into a portfolio type market. And with the conforming market, it's very much in a box type lending. And so that's specifically where there just is not as big a disparity as there once was.
So, Jim, when you say portfolio, right? I mean, a lot of people out there don't actually know what that means.
Sorry.
So, you know, and then you say in the box kind of financing. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, we're heading for this quantitative residential mortgage, which is going to happen next year. And that's what we were talking about earlier. There's going to be two types of loans. There are going to be loans that fit in the box, which is the box that was sold on the secondary market and got us into trouble during the last financial crisis, because there's loans going in that box that should not have been in there. And now there's going to be a separate type of loan that's going to go to an entirely different secondary market, which is being created as we speak. It can't be created till the government and the lenders get together and decide what a qualified residential mortgage is going to be. And they're determining that right now as we speak. Some of the things we're already doing, ratios are coming down, qualifying ratios are coming down from the 45s down to the 41s, makes it a little bit harder. Loan to values are going down a little bit. We had a 97% loan program. It's now down to 95. All this is on conventional. And the jumbo market, which will then look at what's in the conforming market, and then it will go out, and a secondary market will be created. There's people sitting on the sidelines right now just getting ready to jump into that market, but they need some definitions as to what's going to be available before they can structure a market that will be ancillary to the qualified residential market.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Jim Hagan at SWBC Mortgage. You guys have been in the business a long time. In fact, the combined total of the two of you, and Evan Kebler is here as well, is 54 years in the mortgage industry. You guys have a lot of experience under your belt. And what I think you're saying is that the government's coming out with these tested, whether or not they're going to work or not, type of loan programs, and they're trying to figure out a way with Dodd-Frank whether or not, you know, they're going to accept a certain type of vanilla loan. And if that loan fits within that box, that guidelines, then they get the primo kind of rate. They get to be able to be sold on the secondary market. So the lender can actually crank out these loans pretty fast. Whereas when you're talking about some of the jumbo loans, these banks may have to make decisions as whether or not they're actually going to keep those loans on their own books and manage them themselves.
They'll probably both go to the same secondary market, but in different categories. They'll be defined secondary markets. You're right. It will be. It's more of a definition. And once they get that qualified residential mortgage defined, that will set up the rest of the secondary market. And it's going to be a very highly structured situation.
Okay, so Dodd-Frank is a set of rules that's going to actually be enforced January 14th.
That's just the next implementation of the – it started in 2010 with the addition of the NMLS numbers, which you heard read at the beginning of our situation. That makes all loan officers responsible for the loans they do. We've got lots of different compliance deals that have been brought to the mortgage lenders. January 14th is just going to be another layer to further bring compliance in relation to HMDA, which is the fair housing data, is going to be more aggressively collected. That's all going to happen on January 14th. It will be implemented by January 14th. All of the lenders, we've already started. We are practically doing it right now.
Yeah, I remember you said that the staff that was in charge of compliance changed from, you know, like 3 to 20 or something.
Yes.
What were the numbers on that?
It went from 3 to about 17 people, and it will go up.
And it will go up.
It will go up, yes.
Got it. So there are certainly more expenses into running a mortgage company nowadays.
Oh,
come the 14th.
And there is going to be some consolidation in the market, because many small and mid-sized mortgage bankers won't be able to keep up with the compliance requirements.
I can see that.
You know.
And so it seems to me that with all these changes that actually happen to be mostly in place already.
Yes.
You know, because when I see this January 14th, I'm thinking, okay, what happens? Is that the D-Day? You know, are there a lot of changes that are going to take place? But I think what you're saying is that all those adjustments have actually been tested, so it should just be that those are inked and it's official, but they're already in place right now. Once they're actually in place, isn't this going to be opening up a lot of different loan programs in the next 6 months?
I think it is because it's going to allow the secondary market to feel more confident in the type of loans they're buying. You know, we talked about what's going to be available in the conventional side, which is the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac side. They're still going to be doing 90 and 95% loans with ratios, which is 41%. Back in the 80s and 90s, the ratios were like 25 and 36.
Well, let's go back a second.
Yeah.
You said a lot of industry vernacular.
Sorry about that.
Well, it's okay. 90-95%, you mean loan to value, right?
Yes.
That's what that means. So if buying a home for $500,000, you'll loan up to 90% or 95% of the appraised value. A bad example. Sorry.
Up to 417. Up to 417. Thank
you. Yes, up to 417, although I can't calculate.
Did you notice the look of panic in my eyes when you're saying that?
So if you're buying a home up to 400, you would loan up to 90 or 95% of the value of the home. And that's still considered conventional? Is that
That is still a conventional loan, and the PMI companies will step in and put PMI private mortgage insurance behind that to take care of the lender's interest on that. Anything over 80% loan to value will have private mortgage insurance on it.
And the second thing you said was back-end ratio 41, 40, 43%. What does that mean?
Qualifying ratio, if you're, let's say, we talked about 36%, that just means that your income should be three times your housing payment and your, in the new case, it'll be roughly 2.5 times your housing payment. And that includes your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
And that ratio is changing.
Yes. Well, it has just slipped slightly from about 45% average to about 41%.
So it's gotten a little bit easier.
Yes.
A little bit easier.
A little bit harder.
10%.
A little bit harder.
Harder.
Yeah.
Got it. A little bit harder. Now, that I'm interested in the conventional 90 to 95% lending because most people consider conventional to be only 80%. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with James Hagan and Evan Kleber with SWBC Mortgage. Their phone number, 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. When we come back, I'm going to hear a little bit more about this conventional loan, 90 to 95%, and we will get into what an estate plan is and why everybody in San Diego at least needs to have one. At least San Diego needs to have one when we come back.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today, 800-997-1235, 800-997-1235, or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us, 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Mr. Credit here for Five Star Escrow. When you need escrow services, think Five Star, the escrow provider to the friends of the Mr. Credit Show. FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa, with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712. Hi, Mr. Credit here. You know, everyone wants to have a good credit score, but very few people even know how to read a credit report. Now you can get a free copy of your credit report as well as a personalized analysis of that credit report, all 100% free, by simply calling this number, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454.
5-4. Find out specifically what's keeping you from having perfect credit and what action is needed. You'll get access to all the same resources I've personally used to improve and maintain my own credit score. Everyone can have great credit, but it takes a little help for most of us, and we are now providing that for free. Just call 619-734-9454 today. Mention Mr. Credit, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454 or email at MrCredit.org. That's MrCredit.org.
You're in your car, late for work. But when you turn the key, you find out your battery never bothered to put in its two-week notice. Just up and quit right on the spot. So you make your next job a trip to AutoZone for a reliable new Duralast battery. Well, at least your car got a promotion today.
Come into AutoZone for a new Duralast battery. Rugged, dependable power you can count on. Duralast batteries, sold exclusively at AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Only the Home Depot has Moen faucets with microband protection starting at $99. So let's go high-tech and stylish in your bath and kitchen. Microband technology helps prevent bacteria, and Spot Resist helps reduce spots and fingerprints, so your faucet and your budget will look cleaner longer. Let's do this. Moen Microband faucets starting at $99. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We just heard from James Hagan and Evan Kleber with SWBC Mortgage. The number, 858-997-5825. That's the number, 858-997-5825. Estate plan. Why in the world does everybody in San Diego not have one of these? I mean, that is my new plan. That is my new game plan. And I would imagine this is certainly something you promote. We're talking to Joanna DeVos, estate planning attorney. Her website, estateplanningsd.com. That's the website, estateplanningsd.com. So let's start with what an estate plan is, and then maybe we'll kind of back into why in the world doesn't everybody have
one. I actually think that that's the reason people don't have an estate plan is they don't know what an estate plan is and why in the world would they need one anyway.
Let's change that.
So we're going to change it up. And most people that I come across or even clients say, well, what's an estate anyway? Why do I need an estate plan if I don't even have an estate? And so let's try to define what that is. An estate is really just everything that you own, your property, your assets, just your car, your house, you know, whether you own, you know, several properties or you just have, you know, a few assets, a few bank accounts, it's everything that you own. And you need to make decisions about how you want those assets to be transferred after you die. Or who's going to manage those things if something happened to you, like you got into an accident, you became disabled, or you became mentally incapacitated. And you need to be able to determine who's going to have the power to make decisions about your assets, financial decisions, or even it also involves healthcare decisions. So it's kind of this, you know, it's more like life planning or, you know, and death planning, but they just call it estate planning, sort of just to cover you know, all the bases,
all
I guess.
Encompassing term.
It's all encompassing, but it's confusing. I think it'd just be, we got to come up with a better
and
term.
And I can certainly see all the health-related plan to have in place. And that makes sense regardless of what financial bracket you find yourself
right.
in. But at what minimum financial estate, and we're saying estate is basically what you own, what you have in the bank, at what minimum amount, and of course, beyond that, it makes even more sense, but what minimum amount do people really need one of these?
Well, I'll be even more clear about what's in an estate plan. So we're talking about several legal documents that are protecting your property and yourself, your family. So it sounds like what you're talking about is, well, what do we need? What's the minimum I need to have to get a legal document to protect that asset or those assets? So really, it's if you have a home in Southern California, for example, if you own a home and your home is just own, if you own it outright, you own it in joint tenancy, you own it with your spouse or whatever, and it's not protected, through, for example, a living trust, that house is going to have to go through probate when you die. And what probate is the distribution of assets that gets decided upon by the court. So the court's involved in making those decisions. The court will be transferring title to your heirs, but the court is involved in that process. So I really recommend, as far as protection of assets, if you own a house, you know, the state of California says that if you have $150,000 gross, if your gross estate, we're not talking about whether you loaned all your, whether your house has been mortgaged 80-90%. They're just the state of California is going to look at the gross value of that, and they're going to make a determination. And if it's over $150,000 or more, you're going to be going through probate when you die. So your heirs will. So they'll have to go through that to get the property transferred.
So to back that out, it doesn't matter if you own it free and clear.
No.
It's irrelevant as to what encumbrances are on the property.
No.
If you own a home and it's over $150,000 gross value, you're going to find yourself in probate unless you have an estate plan in place.
Just to qualify that, a home and or other assets.
Or assets.
Right.
Totaling
yes.
up to $150,000.
Yes.
I got a question about these other assets you're talking about. It seems to me that it would be confusing as to how to make a mortgage payment if something happened and you're a trustee, say, for example, and you don't want to take money out of your account to make the mortgage payment of the house that's in the trust and you're going to split it up four ways or something to that effect. Do you actually, as the person who's putting your trust together, do you attach a bank account?
Well, essentially what happens now, you're saying that the decision went, is this after somebody has died or while they're, like, how to make a mortgage payment when after, let's say your mom and dad owned a house and they both died and now there's still a mortgage on the house.
There's still a mortgage on the
right,
house. The mortgage company
paid.
Doesn't care. They're
well,
still sending out the bill.
It depends. So let's say you have no trust. Let's say that you, mom and dad never put their house in a trust and were in probate. The court has to order and authorize a person, an individual, to be able to go ahead and make those mortgage payments. So you've got to start from the beginning of the probate process. So one of the heirs will need, if there's, let's say there's not even a will, I'm just giving the worst case scenario. So someone's going to have to come forth and be appointed as administrator of the estate. There's going to have to be a hearing. The judge is going to have to approve that hearing. So we're talking, you know, months passing and everything and time. And you can't do anything in the meantime. So the mortgage companies, you inform them that there's a probate that's going to be going on. But there's nothing that anybody can do to make those payments. And that's a lot of folks get scared. And so I think you may have to make out-of-pocket payments and have the estate reimburse you afterwards, or they may be willing to wait. This is why you don't want to be in that position. With a trust, the difference is that you're not involving the courts. And your trust is going to have somebody that, let's say mom and dad name you, Dave, as the trustee of their trust. And when they die... No, that wasn't a good idea.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. All right,
not a plausible scenario.
But okay, we'll play along.
All right, we'll play along. This is, you know, just an example. So they name you, Dave, and you are going to be responsible after mom and dad are gone to settle their estate and distribute their assets as per their wishes in their trust that they've all laid out. And as let's say the house is there and there's payments that need to be made, you don't need to go to court to get approval to start making those payments. Now, they don't come out of your pocket. It's assets, liquid assets that would be in the trust could be used to make, you know, the mortgage payment. So hopefully there's enough.
Well, say that this happens and I've got the trust in my hand.
Right.
Do I walk into the bank and say, you know, my parents passed away. Here's the trust. I need to have access to this money. What happens?
You need to have access to their bank. You're saying like their accounts.
Yeah, to make the payment.
Well, there's a process that you have to go through. And still, even when you have a trust, you're going to need to get to prove that, yeah, like, for example, that the banks may want to see a copy of the trust. They might want to see what's called a certification of trust, which is another document that I'll often prepare and other attorneys prepare that are specifically for financial institutions that don't contain kind of the what's called the dispositive provisions of the trust. I know big word, but that just means that it doesn't give like the personal information about who gets what, but it just verifies that there's a trust but you need to go in and prove that you have the authority to do it. You'll need a death certificate. You're going to need to show, yeah, you were named as trustee and you should be able to go ahead and have access to the accounts if you're trustee, because that's what the trust should say.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Joanna DeVos, an attorney, an estate planning attorney. that's got some answers for people regarding trust and what would happen if you did or didn't have a trust. And a lot of these questions she can answer off the air. We can't get to them all right now. Call her at 619-829-9559. That's the number, 619-829-9559.
So why in the world doesn't everybody, especially in San Diego, with the home values and, well, general living expenses as high as they are, why doesn't everybody have an estate plan already? Why are people still sending stuff to probate? Why is that happening?
Because people don't want to talk about death, and people don't want to have the conversations, and people don't think it applies to them, and they don't know. They don't. You know what I see? Once they go through a situation, for example, one of my clients is going through something with her father, who, not in San Diego County, but in another part of the state of California, who had a home probably worth about $500,000, had maybe $100,000 in assets. You know, not a, yeah, that's significant, but it's an estate, and did absolutely nothing. And she is looking at what she is now left with to sort through, and all of the mess and the bills and just trying to make sense of everything. Now she's, you know, come to me and say, look, when I get this all done, I know I've got to go through probate with my dad. I want you to prepare a trust for me, because I don't want to have my kids deal with this, and I don't want to. This is a mess. But I think people just don't see it, or when they do kind of see what goes on and how slow the courts are and how you're on the court's timeline. And then actually you're saving money if you do planning up front, I think, you know, versus letting it, you know, be paid out in fees to attorneys, because attorneys are paid statutory fees that are set by the state of California for a probate. So you're paid out, you know, and it winds up usually being more than if you would set up an estate plan while you're able to. So I think it's just a matter of people not necessarily wanting to talk about those things. And also families that are just in conflict. Sometimes they are just reluctant to have the conversations to plan, because it brings up a lot of issues.
We're talking with Joanna DeVos, estate planning attorney. Her website, estateplanningsd.com. That's the website, estateplanningsd.com. When we come back, we're going to get our mortgage guys back on the line here and talk about this conventional financing that'll go to 90 and 95%. And you mentioned some FHA stuff you want to talk about as well ahead of us when we come back.
If your service is 5 stars, your escrow partner should be too. 5-Star Escrow, getting your transactions closed and getting you paid. 5starescrow.com. 5starescrow.com. January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101.
Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline is Ferrari's choice for improved performance. It removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. So you're not just filling up with over 60 years of Shell and Ferrari technology and innovation. You're also filling up with choose Shell V-Power and let the excitement begin.
Subway always has great footlong values. And this November, we've added the $6 footlong special, Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki. Jared's favorite low-fat, full-on flavor feast for an insanely satisfying $6. This month only, it joins our other great footlong values like the $5 footlong Black Forest Ham. Nothing stacks up to the value of Subway footlongs. Subway, eat fresh.
Prices and participation may vary. Plus tax or applicable additional charge for extras. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Fat content refers to regular 6-inch subs on white or 9-grain wheat bread prepared to standard formula. Visit Subway.com for full nutritional information.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Quicken Loans for a mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze. Saturdays in the fall mean college football. Not so much anymore. If you're a college football fan, you have to pay attention on a lot of Thursdays. That has never been truer than tonight, when two of the 5 major unbeaten teams remaining face what should be their toughest test of the season. Second-ranked Oregon has to go on the road to play Stanford. Just before that game, 6th-ranked Baylor hosts Oklahoma, which, like Stanford, has 1 loss this season. The good news is if you love football, you aren't stuck with watching the NFL game between Washington and Minnesota. The bad news is that college football is at its best on Saturdays. It's better for fans, it's part of tradition, and gee, it's better for the so-called student athletes. Of course, weekday football is all about more TV money, and no one says no to that. I'm John Feinstein.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 4.25%, APR 4.5%, that payment could support a $275,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $50,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And you can be confident that Quicken Loans will do everything possible to ensure that you have an amazing mortgage experience. In fact, we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
Payment example excludes taxes and insurance calls. For cost information, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number
3030.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You're listening to ESPN Radio 1700. Catch me weekdays at 7 a.m. ESPN Radio 1700.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday, ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac, David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Joanna DeVos, estate planning attorney. Her website, estateplanningsd.com, estateplanningsd.com. We're going to talk about mortgages and, more importantly, low down payment mortgages with our in-house mortgage guys, James Hagen and Evan Kleber with SWBC Mortgage.
You know, it's interesting to me that there's a lot of conversation that surrounds the low down payment. And there's people out there that have got a ton of cash. They, you know, they feel, you know, that they want to put some money down on the property. But why there's so much focus on this low down payment is just, frankly, money from the banks is cheap.
Yes.
You know, and if you can borrow money at 4.5 on a conventional type of program and invest the other money you were going to put down on the property somewhere else that returns better money, I mean, that's a Robert Kiyosaki no-brainer.
Absolutely. This is absolutely the best time in years and historically, really, to buy or refinance real estate. I mean, it starts with the conventional. You look at what's available conventional with the 90 and the 95% loans, 5 or 10% downs. You're getting historically low interest rates. If you don't have that much down or you have some challenge credit, you can switch over to an FHA, put as little as 3.5% down, have your parents help you qualify, have your parents loan you the 3.5%, and the qualifying ratios, as we discussed on that, are even a little bit higher.
Well, what do you mean, have your parents help you qualify?
In other words, they can actually go on title with you, and they don't even have to live in the house with you. It's what we call a non-occupant co-borrower.
So for income purposes and debt purposes, your parents can be partially responsible, like co-signing for a car loan or something
Yes.
like that, even though they're not going to drive the car or live in the house.
That's right.
And that is through the FHA program.
That's through an FHA program. They are the only program that allows that. You also have VA. We've got a huge veterans community here in San Diego. That's a 100% no down payment loan up to $500,000 and 25% down of the difference up to $1 million.
Up to a million dollars.
And
Wait. What, you got my attention now. $1 million bucks? What is that all about?
In other words, you can do $1 million VA loans.
What?
But the vet has to put up 25% down of the difference of the maximum, which is $500,000, and the million, whatever the loan amount is.
So that second half million, they would put up
25%. So if you were doing $1 million deal, you'd look at about 15% down at $1 million loan amount.
Total.
Yeah, total.
Yeah, so yeah. 125 down
right.
of $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, 12.5%.
And if the vet was more than 10% disabled, the funding fees that go with that are waived.
What about mortgage insurance?
There's no mortgage insurance on the VA loan.
So this would be a great program. Someone wants to buy a house for $1 million. Not to say that all houses are $1 million, but in a lot of the areas that we're in, $500,000 just won't do it. But when we're talking about countywide, $500,000 will fit a lot of households.
Absolutely.
But for those households that it doesn't fit, you might be able to buy a home for $750,000, put 15% down of the $250,000 difference, and still buy the house with VA.
Maybe I misled you there. The 15% was just at $1 million. So above the five, if you have 750 of your description there, $500,000 would be the no down, and then he would put 25% down of the difference between the 500 and the 750. So he'd be putting 25% down of the $250,000.
I understand.
And we can, you know, work through his entitlement with him. I always ask when I'm doing a loan, are you a vet? I mean, let's talk about where we are first, and then we move to FHA, and then if they have the down payment and they're looking with a 20% down deal, then I'll go with a conventional loan.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Jim Hagen and his partner Evan Kebler, combined 54 years in the mortgage industry. And if you guys have questions that we can't answer on the air here, give them a call directly at 858-997-5825. Again, 858-997-5825. It sounds to me, Jim, like you're the kind of guy that'll take calls and talk to people about make sense deals. So you've got sort of this flow chart after being in the business a long time where you're here to offer your time for free to figure out whether or not this is a make sense deal for the client.
Absolutely. Everything is so automated now. What took us 30 or 40 days to do 10 years ago, we can do in 20 to 30 minutes. We can get the person on the phone, run their credit, take credit application over the phone, figure out what their debt service is and what they can afford, give them a pre-qualify amount so they know what price range to shop in, and then put them out there. We tell our real estate community, don't put them in your car until they've seen us and we talk to them. It's probably the biggest service that we provide right now is pre-qualifying the people, putting them in the right mortgage, making sure they're getting the best possible mortgage they can get.
Does someone always have to run credit, or will you sort of take the word for it?
No, they always have to run. Well, with me, you have to run credit. I mean, you look at how many times credit reports are incorrect. I mean, a person may not realize he has an old student loan hanging around that is hurting his credit score. No, it's all based on your credit score and the exact data. We actually ask them to provide their tax returns, check stubs, W-2s, and things like that. You can't do that in 20 minutes, but we let them know that everything that they tell us, and we're going to give them a pre-qualify letter, they're going to be expected to substantiate and to be ready for that. The realtors expect that. Many realtor deals now, when you're walking in the door to make an offer, they'll ask, where is the pre-qualification letter? Who is it from? Do you have a delegated underwriting, which is the electronic approval mask from Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, in your hand before they'll even accept your offer?
You know, it's been said that the recession, so to speak, is somewhat over, right? We look at the amount of foreclosures. We look at the amount of short sales out there right now. And frankly, Ryan and I will discuss off air that it seems as though that ship has sailed. I mean, we've seen some short sales coming through. And obviously, there are people out there that are having trouble making their payments. But for the most part, it's not the mayhem that it was a few years ago. Hence, we could be on a recovery. Home values have come up. There is somewhat of a slowdown right now. If you look at the numbers, we're seeing a seasonal recession, if you will, with the number of homes for sale versus the number that are going pending, which is the number of mortgage applications that are starting. It's fairly normal to watch that cycle right now. But at the same time, if you're really looking at the bigger picture, it's a great time to get in the car and buy a house, even if it's not with Ryan and I, and grab the nearest real estate agent to you and have a discussion about buying a house, figuring out whether or not it makes sense. In February, in April, all these financial planners, CPAs, are going to talk to clients about what their income was last year and whether or not it makes sense to actually buy a house because of the mortgage interest rate deduction. And, you know, this, in a lot of ways, will prompt some things. And in the winter, if you want to really call it the winter months right now, it seems as though this is a really good time because the people that have their house on the market are serious about selling their properties, and there's not many buyers out there right now because it's not the season, if you will. And I think the buyers have more control right now than they do in the spring.
Absolutely. Every house I've ever bought, I've bought in December, and that's just – you seem to get the best prices. If you wait until April, you know, you run the risk of somebody at the Fed making a offhanded statement. It was not a threat that he was going to end qualitative easing. It was just a comment, and as soon as that went up, the rates went up like a 0.5% in one day.
If you're just trying to figure out what we're talking about when Bernanke came out and said that they were going to stop this quantitative easing,
They were considering stopping.
Yeah, they were considering.
He didn't even say he was going to.
Yeah. And actually, he may be, I guess, Janet Yellen is perhaps a successor for him, and she's a supporter of continuing with this.
She is, and as is the rest of the world. And as our economy goes, so is the world economy. They don't want to see us to stop buying these mortgages.
What does that mean to interest rates? If they continue buying, what does that mean to us?
It's hard to say. We moved up 0.5% just on the thought that they might stop. And I mean, it's going to be very difficult. There's a lot of things going to be in play next year in the secondary market between the qualified residential mortgage, the quantitative easing, to say how much of an effect that's going to have. But let's face it, any time you're doing a home mortgage under 7 or 8%, you're making a great purchase. The fact that we're doing mortgages in the 4.5% rate, you're making money on your money right now. It's just the best time to be doing this.
So with this quantitative easing, with the purchase of mortgage-backed securities, it seems as though the government, with the flooding of this money, is holding interest rates down, much like, you know, holding a cork under the water. And if that was to stop, interest rates would rise and that cork would come to the top, if you will, more like a regular market.
And also, they're really not really flooding the market as much as they are. They're taking the place of what a healthy market would do. So as this market regulates itself next year, I expect there'll be other players coming back in buying these securities to replace what the government is doing now with qualitative easing. But we really don't know what that number is and how it's, what effect it's going to have on the interest rate. But I guarantee you it has led to a subsidized rate this year, and God bless them because we need it. But so I don't know where it's going to go next year. It's not going to be horrific.
When we come back, we are going to hear more from Joanna DeVos, our estate planning attorney, estateplanningsd.com. We're actually going to get into, well, some of the questions she brought with her ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Five Star Escrow, the service you deserve when you need it most at closing. Five Star Escrow, fast, friendly, and accurate. Why would you settle for less? FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
You're in your car, late for work. But when you turn the key, you find out your battery never bothered to put in its two-week notice. Just up and quit right on the spot. So you make your next job a trip to AutoZone for a reliable new Duralast battery. Well, at least your car got a promotion today.
Come into AutoZone for a new Duralast battery. Rugged, dependable power you can count on. Duralast batteries, sold exclusively at AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Only the Home Depot has Moen faucets with microband protection starting at $99. So let's go high-tech and stylish in your bath and kitchen. Microband technology helps prevent bacteria, and Spot Resist helps reduce spots and fingerprints, so your faucet and your budget will look cleaner longer. Let's do this. Moen Microband faucets starting at $99. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Jim Hagan and Evan Kleber with SWBC Mortgage talking about their low and no down payment loan options. Again, SWBC Mortgage, the number 858-997-5825, 858-997-5825. 5825. Joanna DeVos, estate planning attorney. We've talked a lot about the financial impact of having an estate and an estate plan, but there's an additional medical side to this that is equally important, right?
I even think, you know, can be even, dare I say, almost more important, because everybody is going to have to face some sort of decision about their health care and how they want to be treated if they're in a situation where they're dying. And so, yes, that would be a yes to your to the answer to your question. So I think it's very important to do planning for healthcare decisions. And so you've got to have those documents in place, like an advance healthcare directive, where you would name a medical power of attorney that's going to make decisions for your healthcare if you're not able to do so for yourself. You need, and advance healthcare directives are pretty easy to obtain, and this is usually, I don't advise getting, you know, do-it-yourself documents or things you can download from the internet, but I really think that there is, for this particular document, advanced healthcare directives, you can get it from your health insurance provider. You can get one from you can get one off the internet from the Secretary of State's office, actually. That's very functional. I just worry about people not having that particular document in place because it is so critical. You don't want other people making decisions for you if you are faced with a life-threatening illness or something, or an accident that's happened and you can't make those decisions. You want to have that done well in advance. So that's kind of my little
spiel. We're talking about decisions as impactful as pulling the plug and
correct.
Everything else that would be less
right.
impactful, right?
Yes.
That sounds like something you'd want in place.
You definitely do. And if you, let's say you do, you know, get one from your health insurance provider and fill it out. I've often reviewed those. I like clients will come to me and I'm preparing their trust and their will and their power of attorney for financial decisions. They'll say, you know, I have this advanced health care directive. I filled it out at my doctor's office. They asked me if I had one. I didn't. I had to go in for surgery and I had to fill this out. Is this right? Is this all I need? And I'll review that and make sure that it is complete and is comprehensive enough. Because there are some, you know, situations where you might want to have, you know, some additional information in there. And really, it's such a personal decisions about, you know, what you want to have happen. And we all know, you know, we've all heard of the Terri Schiavo case, and we all sort of don't want to be in that position. And we sort of think, well, that can't happen to me. Well, why couldn't it happen to you? If we sort of remember that her, on the one side, you got her husband who said, well, I know her wishes. You know, she wanted, You know, she didn't want to live. She wanted to, you know, in this situation, she'd want the plug pulled. And her parents, on the other hand, saying, oh, no. We know our daughter, and she would have wanted to be kept alive by this artificial life support. And, you know, it winds up in court and in the public eye for years fighting over this. And you say, well, that can't happen. Yes, it can, because it's just a simple thing. Had she had an advanced health care directive, those questions would have been answered. There wouldn't have been any court. There wouldn't have been any, nothing would have been in the public eye.
We're talking to Joanna DeVos, estate planning attorney. Her website, estateplanningsd.com. That's the website, estateplanningsd.com. And a lot of people talk about reviewing of your estate plan, and I can't imagine anybody does this every 3 to 5 years.
No.
How often are these things supposed to be reviewed?
Well, they are supposed to. That's kind of a good gauge, 3 to 5 years. I would say for my older clients, maybe we're talking if they're in their in 70s, 80s, maybe every 1 to 2 years, because there could be potential for life changes and you know, just happens with aging. But most people think it is a set and forget, and they put it up on their shelf and it's sitting up there collecting dust. Their, you know, their trust is up there, all their documents, and then time goes by, life goes on, and they don't revisit it until, uh-oh, something happened. Someone got sick. Oh, well, you know, we got to dust that off, and now, oh, wow. A lot of these people that we named in this document, oh, we don't want them to be, you know, we don't want our son to be trustee anymore. You know, we don't want Dave to be trustee anymore. You know, we've wised up on that. But, you know, it's decisions that, you know, it's decisions that, because life changes, our lives change. So we need to keep our documents up to date to reflect those changes. And you should have your documents reviewed every 3 to 5 years, or sometimes every 2 to 3 years. And if you haven't had them looked at in a while, I mean, there's been some changes over the past 5 years, and I mean, I'm happy to do trust reviews and estate plan reviews for my clients and just make recommendations and then sort of say, hey, this is what I recommend that you do, and to get it up to date to make sure that your wishes are carried out and that they're current. So that's something I do quite often.
So someone could grab a hold of their trust and bring it into you, or even scan and email it to you for a glance over, just to make sure that this advanced health directive that you were so...
All of the documents, not just that one. I mean, when I do an estate plan review, it just involves, they would bring their whatever documents they have had prepared. Maybe it's one. Maybe they had the advanced health care directive. Maybe they had a trust that's 20 years old and it's falling apart and was stuck in the basement, you know.
Well, that actually brings up another point, right? Let's just say that, you know, a family goes through the trouble getting a trust and they pass away, and the family knows that there's a trust somewhere, or they suspect there's a trust somewhere, but they can't put their hands on it. Is there some place that it's recorded that there's a trust under the name?
That's a good question, but no, typically trusts are not recorded. One of the benefits of having a trust is that it's a private document. You don't, unlike probate, which is public, where everybody can come search you out and you can get your, you know, second cousin twice removed coming to look for a handout because you died. It's not public record, and so we don't record trusts. However, it's advisable, if you are setting up your trust, that your trustee knows where to find your trust documents when you die, that they would have that information. Does this happen all the time in practice? No. I typically keep an electronic file of my client's estate plan, but then, you know, as long as I'm in practice, I'll have that. And as long as the heirs know that I'm the attorney, they can contact me.
Yeah, I think that's the missing link right there.
It's tough. You need to make sure that those instructions are laid out. And so I think, you know, I just would advise clients that, look, whoever you're naming as trustee needs to know where to locate these. If you're keeping it in a safe, if you're keeping it at a, you know, if you have a safe deposit box at a bank where all your documents are, they need to know where that is so that they can access it at the right time.
So, you know, in a real estate situation, often the title is held in a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier about this with Jim Hagen about the fact that lenders won't generally loan to a trust. They'll have to loan to an individual. So there's the taking it out of the trust and then possibly sometimes not putting it back in the trust.
I had a story about that. I had a client end of last year, who came to me and said, you know, my dad died. I'm the trustee of his trust. And he had two properties, one of which was in the middle of a refi, did not get put back into the trust, died before it completed. Ooh. So that was kind of a, but you know, there is the good news, the happy ending of the story is because his father had a trust prepared, it gave instructions for, he authorized his son, who's trustee in the trust, to be able to go to court and say, look, Dad intended this to go into the trust. He died before it was able to do it. It was all of his other assets were in the trust. And so the court was, you know, the court authorized the transfer of that house back into the trust.
Yeah, they could see that it made sense.
Yeah. And that actually is fairly common that happens. So luckily he didn't have to go through a full-blown probate of that house. You know, he still had to go to court. But see, that's another reason to make sure you have your documents up to date, because if it's a good time to buy a home, you know, you're buying a new house. If you have a trust, put that house in your trust. Or, you know, maybe you've got houses that you don't own property anymore. Just make sure things are up to date and things are protected. You're spending all this money to buy, you know, it's for your family, for your loved ones. You know, you want to make sure those things are protected properly.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Joanna DeVos. She is an estate planning attorney with estateplanningsd.com. Her direct line, because we won't be able to answer all the questions that you might have or that we have actually on the air right now, call her at 619-829-9559. She'll take the call, review your trust, or actually start one for you, 619-829-9559.
Yeah, go out and get your advanced healthcare directive in place. That sounds pretty important. One way or another, figure it out. Get that in place. The website, estateplanningsd.com. That's the website, estateplanningsd.com. Also, with SWBC Mortgage, James Hagan and Evan Kleber, we talked about low-down and no-down payment loans, the 90-95% conforming loan, the FHA out there at 96.5% LTV, only 3.5% down. Gentlemen and lady,
thank you.
Thank you very much. To get a hold of Jim and Evan, the number 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. Coming up next, we are all blessed to hear a second shot at Mr. Credit here today. Coming up next.